What's up, everybody? Welcome to Alpha Vets. Good to see you guys here. As you start to roll in, we got Chris. We got man Kevin Cash with us tonight. Kevin, what's up? How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having me. Super appreciate it.
Absolutely. How you doing, Chris?
Yeah. Chilling. It's Thursday. The weather is going to be phenomenal this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be in the upper 70s and sunny. Yeah. Finally a weekend with no rain. I'm excited.
Just throwing it in my face.
I mean, last weekend I got to go see my first Christian concert. Like this weekend, who knows? You know, I don't know if we'll have enough time.
That's awesome. It's good to see you guys here as you start to roll in. Appreciate everyone for coming out. We're going to talk a little bit about the Ark of the Covenant tonight. We're going to go down some stuff. I'm ready to learn a little bit from Kevin, because he's got tons of videos on TikTok. Kevin, what do you have any other platforms that you're on?
Yeah, so I started a Facebook group called ARK Movement, and it's about 5,500 members right now. And I really want to focus on the movement and less on my TikTok, but TikTok has just got such an amazing reach. That's kind of why I'm there right now. Yeah.
It does until
they don't like what you say.
I know. And that's actually a problem. So I'm trying to diversify a little bit. I'm on X too. So I would like to start a group on X, but it costs money and I just haven't got to that yet. So right now I'm on Facebook, but I do need to do a Rumble. I think you guys are on Rumble as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rumble's our main platform. Like we got stuff on Twitch. We tried YouTube for a while.
Yep.
You shouldn't say a while. It lasted six months. Was it 6 months?
Yeah. 6 months.
Really? Man, that's horrible. How do you guys feel about X?
So far, so good.
That's where we are most of the time, of just like random posting. Yeah. But
So I'm on X too, and I'm going to start posting on it more. It's all of my accounts are kcash3333. So
3333. And if you guys don't know, this is those of you that are on TikTok, because I know we got a lot of TikTok people on here. This is I have his description below. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and check it out. Kevin Cash, KCash 3333. And
Super excited about the Ark of the Covenant, man. I think it's going to win lots of souls to the kingdom. That's why I'm doing all this. So,
Right on. Absolutely. We all have our calling. We all have our calling in this great awakening that we're all taking part in right now. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, let's get some prayer going and we'll get started. Yeah. Huh?
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We give you all the glory. And we just thank you, Father, for bringing us to another day, for breathing life into our lungs. For giving us this opportunity to come together for fellowship, to speak truth to power, to worship you, Father, and to just be thankful for everything that you do in our lives each and every day. We're just thankful for your guidance, for your daily downloads of wisdom, for that discernment that we all need so much right now, Father. And we just thank you for your love and your kindness that you show each and every one of us every single day, Father. And we just can't thank you enough for the things that you are showing us. We thank you for removing those scales from our eyes, for helping us see the true nature of the world that we live in, and to just give us, to light that fire for all of us to seek the truth. For we know, Father, that if we ask you for the truth, if we ask you for that wisdom, you will give it to us in plenty. And we just know, Father, that we need to believe the things that you show us. And because the world does a really good job of trying to distract us and deceive us and tell us what we are to believe. And we know, Father, that it is what our eyes see, and that you right now, that you're speaking to us, that you're speaking to so many people, that you have anointed so many people in so many different ways, Father. And we just thank you to be a part of all of it. We thank you for your protection over my family, over Israel's family. We thank you for your protection over Kevin Cash, and we thank you for bringing him to this show today, Father. And we just know that your arms are around us, that you're around everybody here in this chat tonight, that you're around this entire community here that we have at Alpha Vets. We just know, Father, that you are protecting us and keeping us from all the slings and the arrows of the evil one. Father, we thank you for your protection over our true president, Donald J. Trump, and his family. We just thank you, and we know that you will continue just guiding him and so many others that are working to help us restore this great country. We know, Father, that our best days are ahead of us, that your Holy Spirit is going to spread all over this nation and all over the world, and we will take back this world from those who wish to do us harm. We thank you, Father, for the prophets. We know that you are speaking through many, and we know that you will continue to do so and that you will protect them. And, Father, we thank you so much for just being here with us tonight. We know that you will be with us, that we will have a very fruitful conversation tonight, and that we're all going to walk away learning more than we did before we started this show. And, Father, we thank you for this wonderful community at Alpha Vets, and we just know you will help us continue to grow and continue to spread this message far and wide all over this country and all over the world. So, for we thank you and we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh. All right. No.
So, I got a question for you. Right off the bat, like, as fascinating as it all is, the Ark of the Covenant and everything like that, what made you kind of dive into all this?
Yeah, it's a long story that leads up to it. It was actually a Bob Jones prophecy. I didn't know anything about the Ark of the Covenant. I had no idea about Ron Wyatt or the scriptures. And I felt the Lord calling me to reveal this. And it's a long backstory, but Bob Jones had prophesied that when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that'll be a sign that God is rising up his Chiefs. And I heard the prophecy. I don't know if you guys have heard that prophecy. Have you heard that?
Nope. I did. So, I think you had a clip of it on one of the TikTok videos you did. Very fascinating. Yeah. Tell us about it.
So I was in Kansas City. I decided to start a ministry. This is 10 years prior. I had made a promise to God that I was going to start a ministry before 32. It's just kind of my own personal thing. And so right before my birthday, I'm in Kansas City. The night the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, and it's the first video I ever shot. And then the next day I heard the prophecy, and I was like, well, that's interesting. It was just coincidental. That's all it was. It was just, you know, it was coincidental. But then I heard this Bob Jones guy said that they would find the Ark of the Covenant, these Chiefs. And he specifically said he'd been prophesying this for like since the 80s, for like 40 years, that when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that's a sign that the Lord is rising up his Chiefs and revival is soon coming. So he said that these same Chiefs would find the Ark of the Covenant. So it's really, really strange. This is really crazy, but it all happened. And I've talked about it a little bit on my channel. But for some odd reason, I felt like God was calling me because of a couple of personal things that Bob Jones said. There was a couple of things that were personal. So I prayed a prayer to God the day that the Kansas City Chiefs were celebrating their Super Bowl win back in 2020. I was like, God, if this is your will, put me in front of Patrick Mahomes. You know, it's weird. I know that's like weird, but Ron Wyatt did the same thing. And I don't need a sign, but I was just looking for confirmation that this was God. Crazy story, but we were going to go to the parade, and there was an ice storm in between Springfield, Missouri, which is where I live, in Kansas City. So we decided to cancel it. Well, then my brother calls me like 3 hours later, 3 or 4 hours later. He's like, hey, it didn't ice. Let's go up to Kansas City. It's a 3-hour drive from Springfield. So we went up to Kansas City and we missed the parade. We were really discouraged. We were kind of depressed. You know, we wanted to celebrate because it was the first win in 50 years. And I'm from Missouri. So we were really excited about being able to celebrate the parade. And anyways, long story short, we went to the Power and Light District and we saw this fire pit upstairs. And we just decided to go into this fire pit to warm up. And it ended up being a private venue with the Chiefs. And we weren't supposed to be in there. We went in through a back door. And I ended up standing in front of Patrick Mahomes that night. And all I was thinking about was this Bob Jones prophecy in the Ark of the Covenant. And I was considering whether I should walk up to him and tell him. But for me, it was a prayer answered. And I know it's really personal to me, but it's what happened. So the next day I was like, well, maybe God wants me to pursue the Ark of the Covenant. And that's how I got started on this path. And I didn't know anything. At this point, I didn't know anything about Ron Wyatt or the scriptures.
That's pretty wild.
That is wild.
Yeah, and the thing is it was so crazy that people, like, luckily my brother was with me and my ex-girlfriend at the time, and we took pictures. I took pictures with them, and I just posted a video actually talking about it again. So I posted a couple of videos about this. But people, you know, it's really personal to me and how God led me down this path. I think that this Bob Jones guy, he said that these chiefs would find the Ark of the Covenant. And I honestly think his prophecy is going to come to pass. So,
yeah, I remember. Do you know who Mark Taylor is?
No. Uh-uh.
I mean, I haven't heard from him in honestly a super long time.
It's been a while, actually.
It's been like 5 or 6 years, but he talked about it. He talked about the Ark of the Covenant being found. And I was like, ooh, okay. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine, yeah, like what's going to happen if people find it, especially who finds it.
Well, it was actually prophesied by Kim Clement. He gets into that. So the ARC movement that I started is a movement of Christians coming together as a group to get a confirmation that the ARC is at the crucifixion site. So that's the movement that I started. And I think it'll actually, I think it will fulfill a couple of Kim Clement's prophecies. And he talked about this. Kim did. It's prophesied in the scriptures, Acts 15:16, that there will be a massive revival once the Ark is revealed. It's a combination of Amos 9:11 and Acts 15:16. The brother of Jesus, James, is talking about how the tabernacle of David will be restored. So not the third temple. The tabernacle of David is a lot different. And in Acts, he says, after this. So it's almost as if the next thing we need to look for is the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And that's where Kim Clement comes in and starts prophesying. And I think you guys follow Kim Clement, don't you?
Oh yeah. He's the reason.
Okay.
He's the reason for this podcast. He's the reason me and this Amen. Guy met each other. So, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I know Kim Clement Amen. Quite a bit. Yeah.
So did you see his video? If you just type in Kim Clement, Tabernacle of David, did you guys see that prophecy? Because he goes into major detail about the Ark of the Covenant.
I mean, I remember him speaking about it. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Yeah. Okay. So Kim Clement prophesied. He said that an angel of the Lord was speaking to him and whispered into his ear, the Ark of the Covenant will be found. And Kim Clement's incredible. He's prophesying this future that he's seeing. And while he's prophesying, he's like jumping ahead in time. And he says, when this happens in the future, many will try to fight it, which is actually what's happening right now, today. This prophecy is being fulfilled. Because when I post videos on TikTok, I have lots of people trying to fight me on this. And a lot of it, not Christians, it's people from the secular society that just really don't want this to be true, because if it's true, then it proves that Christ is the Messiah. But right. Kim Clement says, there will be signs for it, is what he says in this prophecy, as if there'll be evidence for the Ark of the Covenant being found. And he says, many will try to fight it. And he says that there will even be people from the religious community that will try to fight against this. But he was very clear. He said it several times, the Ark of the Covenant will be found. And he says it in reference to Acts 15:16. So Acts 15:16 talks about the tabernacle of David being restored. And Kim Clement goes into detail, but the tabernacle of David is not the third temple. Sometimes people get that confused. The tabernacle of David was David bringing the Ark of the Covenant, and he put it in a tent. He took it away from the tabernacle. He actually split it from the tabernacle and put it in a tent in Israel. So the tabernacle of David, and Kim Clement goes into detail about this. The tabernacle of David is just a tent and the Ark of the Covenant. So what Kim Clement says is, he doesn't use these words, but this is what he says in his prophecy. There is no tabernacle of David without the Ark of the Covenant. And he says it several times. He says the Ark of the Covenant will be found. It has to be found because of Acts 15:16.
Very interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the guy, the one who's the one again that you said prophesied when the Chiefs win, that would be a sign.
Bob Jones.
Bob Jones. He said it would be a sign. Yeah, go ahead.
So in that prophecy, didn't he say something about like the men of that generation will not only find it, they will place their hands on it or something like that?
Yep. He said he was very detailed about it. So this was one of his most he said several times that this was his most powerful vision he ever had, because he said he was there. Like the Holy Spirit actually moved him to this event in the future, and he saw it with his own two eyes. And he said it was young men and women that were carrying the ark by the golden poles. And he said that they would bear it, that they would bring it in, that they would find it. And this would really kick off this great awakening that would restore everything. So a lot of the Bob Jones prophecies and Kim Clement prophecies are tied together because Bob Jones said that this would bring in a billion soul harvest. This great awakening would bring in a billion soul harvest. And Kim Clement said a lot of the same things, that there's this great awakening that's coming in, and it's going to be a movement of the spirit that's going to awaken people. But yeah, so Bob Jones was really detailed about it, and he was questioned over it, and he's like, no, they're actually going to find the actual Ark of the Covenant. And anyway, so I think this is also prophesied in the scriptures. So in Amos 9:11, it talks about after the tabernacle of David is restored, that there's going to be this great revival. So what it is once the world figures out, what I'm thinking is going to happen is once the world figures out that the Ark is at the crucifixion site and that Christ's blood fell on it, like the secular society, everybody's going to know going forward that Christ is the Messiah. I think it's going to be that big of a deal. Like it's literally going to change the entire perception of the whole human species, where everybody going forward knows that Christ is king. That's what I'm foreseeing. That's the awakening I'm foreseeing.
That we've discussed that here too, that God is going to show himself when all this goes down. You will undoubtedly know that God is real, that the Bible, that what is in the word is real. It is our history. And by that, knowing that, there's a lot of things about the world that they've used to deceive us about our world and all that. It's almost like that entire veil comes crashing down.
Yep. And Kim Clement talked about that too. He said the veil will be removed. And it's weird because I feel like God is removing this veil, that we've been stuck in the matrix, because there's so many things that it's like, why didn't we figure this out? There were so many things that we haven't figured out. And, you know, even if you go back 10 years, I feel like I've been awake for a long time because of 9/11. When I was 14, I spoke out against that. And so I've been awake to government corruption for a long time, but there's even things in the last year or two. It's like, why didn't I figure that out? We're totally in the matrix, and it's like God's removing the veil.
Oh, yeah. You can see it now. I mean, you see all the chaos throughout the world. And I think many of us can see now that it's always been this bad. It's just that veil has been being pulled back constantly. And we're seeing the corruption for what it is in every single aspect of humanity. And I'm very fascinated that you said that, because I know like a couple of your TikToks that you have it, or you've shown how it is beneath the crucifixion site, right?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we can get into that if you'd like. So the first thing I point out is not only is modern day prophets prophesying that the Ark of the Covenant will be found, but also the Bible prophesies this. And several passages, and the ones we just talked about, there is no tabernacle of David without the Ark of the Covenant. The tabernacle of David was just a tent and the Ark of the Covenant. So when the brother of Jesus, James, is saying the tabernacle of David will be restored, he's literally talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And in Exodus, there's this weird verse. It's strange how it's worded. It's the only time that it's worded in the scriptures that says this, but Moses, it's Exodus 30. I'm going off the top of my, I think it's Exodus 30:19. It talks about how he put the tent over the tabernacle. So we know that the tabernacle is not the tent. So when Kim Clement says, there is no tabernacle of David without the Ark of the Covenant, I do believe that's scriptural. But setting that aside, so how do we know that the Ark is under the crucifixion site? Well, number one, a man found it there by the name of Ron Wyatt. And I understand that we need to be very careful in listening to people, because people can lie, But setting Ron Wyatt aside, after I heard his testimony, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart that he was telling the truth. But what really convinced me was the scriptures. Okay, so the scriptures do say that this occurred. It does prophesy in three passages. I think the most important, or probably one of the most popular ones, is Daniel 9, 24 and 25, where it says the Messiah will anoint the most holy. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Daniel prophecy.
The prophecy?
The 70-week prophecy from Daniel. It's the 70-week prophecy from Daniel. So it's Daniel 9, 24, and 25. The angel Gabriel is talking to Daniel, and he says that 70 weeks is determined upon thy people and thy holy city. And then he lists everything that the Messiah will do there in Daniel 9, 24. And the very last thing he says is that the Messiah will anoint the most holy. So he lists everything the Messiah will do. And Matthew Henry's commentary says this is the greatest prediction of Christ in all of the Old Testament. I agree with that. So the very last thing he says that Christ will do is to anoint the most holy. Well, throughout the scriptures, the ark is referred to as the most holy. And so then I just ask people, I say, what is a greater anointing, oil or the blood of God? And then it clicks and they realize that they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, Daniel is talking about the Messiah anointing the Ark of the Covenant. It doesn't say the Ark of the Covenant, it says the most holy. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, why would God do that? Why would God kind of put it in a message like that? Well, Daniel also prophesied that these prophecies that Daniel was getting in chapter 7 and 8, he says at the very end of chapter 8, he talks about how these prophecies, they were just the visions he was having, they exhausted him. He was so exhausted that he said he slept for several days. And then in chapter 12 of Daniel, I think it's verse 8, 9, and 10, he questions the angel and he says, I don't understand these prophecies. What's going on here? And the angel rebukes Daniel and says, go your way, Daniel. This is for a time of the end. It's not for you, Daniel. It's for a time of the end. And so when I'm talking to pastors and Bible scholars, they're like, well, how come we're just now figuring this out? I'm like, Daniel also prophesies that. It says that it's for a time of the end. So we're not even supposed to understand these prophecies until the end. But when it says that the Messiah anointed the most holy, I believe it's talking about the Ark of the Covenant.
The mercy seat. That would make sense. Yep.
That makes sense. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. So a lot of people will criticize Ron Wyatt and they'll say, he's a liar, he's a fraud. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need Ron Wyatt's testimony. I have the scriptures. I have Daniel 9, 24, and 25. So, you know, I think Ron Wyatt did find the Ark and he was an incredible guy from what people testify, that he was a really, really good guy. But I stick to the Bible. I stick to the scriptures. And that's one of two more passages that say that this happened. So I'm a firm believer that the Ark is at the crucifixion site. And Kim Clement goes into more detail about this, and we can kind of get into it if you guys want.
Yeah. This is good. See, I got to go back. Now, that you said that's in... See, like, I'm...
In,
you know... Like a lot of us, like I'm still learning a lot of this stuff. So
yeah.
You said
it's,
that
it's
was
a weird Daniel 9, 24 and 25. It's a weird way to phrase to anoint the most holy. That's a weird way to phrase it. But I'm telling you, Daniel gives us the answer. When Daniel questioned the angel went on to say, he said, the wicked will not understand this, only the wise. So in reference to the prophecies, I don't think God could have wrote Daniel 9, 24 and 25, and God could have said, and Christ will spill his blood under the Ark of the Covenant. He could have said it like that. But the reason I think he phrased it as the most holy is because in the future, us Christians figured it out. We figured out what he was saying. But yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting way to say it. But let me give you another little piece of evidence here. Do you guys know who Dr. Hovind is?
No.
Dr. Kent Hovind.
No, sir.
So he's the creationist guy. He does the creation and evolution debates, and he's a creationist. Brilliant guy.
I think I know who you're talking about.
He has a very large following. Well, I met with him personally. I drove all the way to Alabama to talk to him. And I said to him, this is what I said to him. So check this out. Imagine there are two temples on the Temple Mount, and they are both identical in every way, with one exception. one temple has the Ark of the Covenant and the other one does not. I said to him, I said, which one is the temple of God? He's like, oh, that's easy. The one with the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm like, exactly. So how do you have a most holy or a holy of holies without the Ark of the Covenant? Because it was God enthroned between the cherubim that made the holy of holies holy. So that term most holy is actually referencing the Ark of the Covenant. Hopefully that makes sense. I kind of just blasted it off there.
No,
it's good. It's good.
Yeah, the point is there is no most holy without the Ark of the Covenant, because it was God enthroned between the cherubim that made the Holy of Holies holy. And when I said that to Dr. Hovind, he was thinking about it, and he goes, yeah, he goes, that makes sense. So anyways, and that there's two more passages on top of that. But we can get into Kim Coleman if you guys want. I would like to talk about him. I have some prophecies to share with you guys about Kim Coleman.
I could talk about Kim all day.
All day long.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kim prophesied that the Ark would be found, and he went into detail about it, and it's already being fulfilled today. But what's interesting is there's a couple of Kim Coleman prophecies that I believe will be fulfilled through this movement that I started called the Ark Movement. So the movement, the idea with the movement is to grow it to 5 million, 10 million, whatever I could grow it to, and then start reaching out to Benjamin Netanyahu. The idea of the movement is to get a confirmation, because we want to win the lost sheep. We want to win those from the secular society. And I think the Ark of the Covenant being found will win lots of souls to the kingdom. So the movement is, there's only two ways we could get a confirmation: an authority figure like Netanyahu admitting that it's there, or having an investigation of the site. So that's the movement. Okay. Well, this is interesting, because Kim Clement prophesied, if you guys YouTube Kim Clement Netanyahu Rudy Giuliani prophecy, he prophesied that in the future that he said, the term Kim said is, they will call to him, referring to Benjamin Netanyahu, whether ruler or not. And he said Netanyahu will stand and reveal. He will reveal something. So in this Kim Clement prophecy, he says they will call to Netanyahu. He never explains who the they is, but I think Kim Clement was talking about the church or a group of people that for some reason will call to Netanyahu. They'll be trying to get a hold of him. And the reason they're trying to get a hold of him is because Kim says that he's not just a king, he's a prophet, and he's going to reveal something. So when I started this movement and I was just talking to people on the internet and TikTok and trying to get ideas, the only way we could really get a confirmation is one of those two ways: investigating the site and finding out if the Ark of the Covenant is there or not, or getting a meeting with Netanyahu and him revealing it. The reason that I think it's important that an authority figure reveals it is because the secular society, the lost sheep, they listen to authorities. They don't listen to the scriptures. They don't listen to, like us, we rely on the Holy Spirit a lot. And I think that this movement, like I said, is for the lost sheep. So I was already going down that road of wanting to meet with Netanyahu. And then I heard this Kim Clement prophecy, which just shocked me, because he said that they, I don't know who they are, but they are going to call to him, and he's going to stand and reveal something. Now that sounds interesting.
It is interesting. And there's so much backlash, especially now, like against Netanyahu. And like, yep. I'm a big follower of Kim, and I've heard so many things about Netanyahu. So like, I always keep it open, because, you know, everybody wants to give their opinion about everything that's happening in Israel. Everybody's an Israeli expert about the logistics happening within the country. Yeah. And let's be honest, most of us don't know a squat about what's actually happening through military, through the judicial system and everything like that. So I've heard lots of prophecies about Netanyahu, and I always keep that end open, no matter what people are talking about, because of what Kim prophesied, saying that Netanyahu was going to be a big part to play in the future.
Yep. And the thing is, Kim even prophesied that he would be rejected. I think he uses a term that many would mourn and cry over him being elected. I think that's the term he used. He talked about people crying because they were so distraught that this Netanyahu stayed in power. You know, so it's like that's happening right now. This Kim Clement guy called everything. He called everything. And it gets even more intense, you guys. Like this, the prophecies, how they all align are just so mind-boggling. Not only is Kim Clement prophesying that Netanyahu is going to reveal something in the future, but that's not even what led me to want to get a meeting with Netanyahu. See, that's another interesting story, actually. There's this, do you guys know who Jonathan Kahn is?
Yeah, man. You know who he is?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
After I sold my house.
Thanks, Chris, by the way.
I sold my house. I live in a cargo trailer. This is a cargo trailer I built, and I travel the country. And all I do is talk about this. I go from church to church. I talk to pastors. Before I started this journey, this mission I'm on, I was already planning on, I was kind of like seeing where this was going. I was trying to form it in my mind how we were going to get a confirmation, because a confirmation would be the long-term goal. And I heard this YouTube video from him, Jonathan Kahn, and he says, this is so interesting. He said, there was this guy called Robert Mawire, M-A-W-I-R-E. I don't know how he pronounces it, but really interesting story. He had the Lord put on his heart to drive out of state. I think the first place he went was Florida, and get a meeting with Netanyahu. He knew that Netanyahu was coming to Florida, and the Lord just put it on his heart, you need to go to him and give him a word for me. And so this minister, like, he's like shocked, but he does it, right? And he shows up at the church where Netanyahu is speaking, and the Lord just directs his path. And Jonathan tells this whole story. If you just go to YouTube and you type in Jonathan Kahn, Netanyahu, Tabernacle of David, the restoration of the Tabernacle of David, you'll find it. But anyway, so he comes before Netanyahu and he says to him, this is the message that the Lord has given me. He says to Netanyahu, so he actually gets a meeting with Netanyahu. And I think Ariel Sharon, another prime minister, was there as well. So Netanyahu is the prime minister. It's the late 90s, Bill Clinton's president. And he says to him, do not give up any land in Israel or the Lord will remove you from power. And that's all he says to Netanyahu. And then he's like, okay, you know, and then he walks away. Well, under Bill Clinton, Yasser Arafat, they put pressure on Netanyahu. He gave up land. And then shortly after that, he was removed from power. Well, several years later, the Lord says, I want you to go to Netanyahu again and give him another word. And I think this time Netanyahu is in Texas. And so this minister goes to Texas, and same scenario, the Lord just directs his path, and he was able to get a meeting with Netanyahu again. Except this time, Benjamin Netanyahu actually recognizes him, and he jokes with him a little bit. He says to him, be careful. He goes, you know what Jews do to prophets, right? And he says, we stone them. So he warned him this time, you know, just joking with him. And so Netanyahu takes this minister, Robert Mawire, he takes him very serious now. And this is what he says to him. He prophesied to Netanyahu again. He says, you will, and Netanyahu isn't prime minister at this time. He says to him, you will be prime minister again at a very critical time in Israel. He says, this time the Lord says, do not give any land back, and you will see, you will be prime minister when the Tabernacle of David is restored. This is what he said to Netanyahu. And this aligns with Kim Clement's prophecy. So I heard this from Jonathan Kahn. And so I wanted to see if I could get a hold of this minister. And I started calling around to see if I could get a hold of him. And I was actually able to get him on the phone. And I had a whole conversation with him. He told me the whole story. He recapped it, how he met with Netanyahu twice. It was all aligned by God. This is all God's doing. He's like, there's no way I could get a meeting with him. It was all God. And I had to question him pretty hard. You know, I don't know why he was a little bit nervous on the phone, but I was like, did you say to Netanyahu that he would see the restoration of the Tabernacle of David? And he said, well, I was talking about the third temple and how it was all about the third temple. I was like, no. I explained it. I was like, for Jewish people, this is to them, like the Tabernacle of David and the third temple are two different things. They're very, very different. Right. And he said, the Lord told me to tell him that he would see the restoration of the Tabernacle of David. So he spoke those words to Netanyahu, and he admitted it to me. And I was just blown away. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay, so Netanyahu's in Israel right now. And I think Netanyahu actually believes that he will see the restoration of the Tabernacle of David.
Dang.
That's deep.
So you could YouTube Jonathan Kahn, Tabernacle of David. And it's a good video. He explains it.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah, so early in my... I'll tell you a little bit of me, Cash, real quick. So 7 years ago, I didn't even believe in God. I grew up in the church. I fell away. 2016, my whole life changed. You know, the stuff happened. And things happened after I gave my life to God that I can only attribute to him. Like, just stuff dropped into my lap that I normally wouldn't look at. And Kim Clement was one of those. His prophecy, like, completely opened my eyes. And just really started taking me down a rabbit hole. And, you know, same thing with Iz. Like, we have a similar story. Like, Kim Clement, it was the draw to the prophetic. And Jonathan Kahn was also, I've read a lot of his books. And the Harbinger the Paradigm was another good one about how same events, just different time periods about, you know, because history repeats itself. So yeah. It's just crazy that you're mentioning all the same people, because these are the same people who really opened my eyes and just, you know, great information. And it makes you realize that the world is a lot bigger, or a lot. The real world that behind the veil is a lot more interesting than this fake one that's been sold to me my whole life, you know?
Yeah, yeah. God's always moving behind the scenes, and we never know about it either. Always. So another guy that I think I saw in your guys' intro video, was it Bo Pony?
Yeah,
Bo
Pony. Yeah.
Okay, so he talked about, he's talked extensively about the Bob Jones prophecy. So we're dealing with a lot of the same people, you know? And it's weird how God's... So Bo Pony, he's prophesying, he's talking about a lot of the stuff that's occurring, but he doesn't know my perspective and some of the things that are going on in my life with the Ark of the Covenant and Bob Jones. He's like, he's just talking about the prophecy, you know?
Right.
It's weird how the Holy Spirit is really working through all of us. And I think eventually it's just going to climax into this big event where we're going to, you know, it's going to be God.
Yes,
I know. It's actually wild, because, you know, me and Chris used to talk about all the time, like, me and Chris, we don't obviously think of us as any, like, better than anybody else, like any regular human being, you know. We're just a couple of regular guys that go through extensive detail and dig in all this biblical prophecy. I mean, me and Chris were brought together through prophecy. So, I mean, we always joked about it back in the day, like, getting people like Don A. Clement on and Bo Polny and all these people. And if you'd have told me 3 years ago, I would have all these people's phone number in my phone. Like, and we just like talk to them. It's like, this is like how the Holy Spirit works. Like, he brings all this together, all these people together that are on the same mindset. Yet there's different departments that everybody is very knowledgeable in. And it's quite fascinating.
So what Bob Jones said, I'll clarify a little bit, because Bo was talking about it, and he said people got confused and they were kind of criticizing him. They're like, you said there was going to be revival after the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. That's not what Bob Jones prophesied. What Bob Jones prophesied was that the Lord is going to start raising up his Chiefs. So we're going to start seeing the start, and this would go back to 2020, and we're going to see the start of the Lord raising up his Chiefs, which is, you know, people like all the ones we're talking about, and you and I, and anybody who's trying to advance this great awakening is who I think he's prophesying about. So he's prophesying that when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, this is a sign. This is what the Lord told him. This is a sign that this great awakening is coming. And then he said soon after this, there will be a revival. So it doesn't happen right away, you know, because we're going back into 2020 and it's been 4 years. But I think what's happening is it's like a quickening. We're getting closer and closer and closer to this event where things are just going to pop off.
Yep. Agreed. 100% agreed.
It's when exactly did you and I meet?
When did we meet?
2020.
Was it 2020?
Yeah. Because we didn't start the podcast. Exactly. And we didn't start the podcast of 2021, Labor Day 2021.
Yeah, but it's weird that he it's, I honestly, this Bob Jones guy, he's like Kim Clement. Like the two, I think the two greatest prophets of our time is Bob Jones and Kim Clement. So everything that this Bob Jones guy prophesied came to pass. What are the odds that he would say, when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that's a sign that God's going to start rising up his Chiefs. And then 2020 happens, COVID happens, all of a sudden, all of us Christians go through all this pain and suffering, and we start thinking to ourselves, man, we got to get busy. We got to start getting busy. And so people like you guys and me and everybody else is like, dude, we got to start rising up. And there's like a whole crop of people that are starting to rise up right now that are like, no, this system that we're a part of right now, it's not working. We got to have something different.
We do. And that's the biggest part. That's just it, man, is bringing people's mindset out of the natural way of living. We have so many things in this world that have dumbed us down.
Yeah.
Like so many. And we have, I mean, we're all guilty of it, but we've replaced Jesus with certain things in our life without noticing it, without thinking of it as a big deal. And it is slowly over time. We all fell asleep. The church fell asleep. I mean, just look what happened with COVID. That was like a perfect example of how the church fell asleep, because most of them gave in.
Yeah.
And it's like,
oh yeah,
what? But the liquor store can stay open, but the church has got to close down. And so it was like a perfect
Walmart
slap
was open
in the face.
Everything but the church could be open, right? Shut down small businesses. Yeah, that's crazy. Dude, I got goosebumps, because you're right, man. It was like, I mean, I was awake before COVID, but COVID was like that event that just made everybody go, okay, if they're willing to do this, we really got to step it up, because I witnessed things. I witnessed people do things during COVID that I'm like, I never thought, you know, all of us are like, I wonder what it was like during the Holocaust. How could those people let that happen?
Yep.
And then you, COVID happened, you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the brainwash. It's the bullhorn. When the enemy owns the bullhorn, just like back in when Hitler owned, he had the brain, everything intact to brainwash a population, the mainstream media, that's the enemy's bullhorn. And when you watch it and you saw the effect of it, and how, you know, me and Iz like to say, like a lot of people were not bad people, but their conscience had been seared into just only doing what they were told, instead of critically thinking about, wait a minute, none of this makes any sense. But every time you turn on the TV screen, it was blah, it was COVID, COVID, COVID.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. It's like that event lit a spark. Cause I met this guy. It was right at the end of 2020, rolling into 2021. And, because a lot of us, I didn't get on TikTok till 2020. I've been banned off of every platform. Like, and what's crazy is I was telling my daughter, stay off that TikTok. I don't want you on TikTok. And then Twitter kept getting banned. I don't know how many times. I lost count how many times I got banned on Twitter.
Yep.
And I'm like, I felt like a Richard Gere officer in a 2020. Yeah, I was like, I got nowhere else to go. You know? So I'm on TikTok. Everything happens for a reason, I guess.
Yeah,
it's really sad. I feel like the church, they gave Easter of 2020 to the devil. Like, they didn't even care, you know. And I tell Christians, and I don't want to dog on the church too much, because we still need to unite, you know. It's really bad, because I tell people, I was like, if you want to see if your pastor is corrupt, if you want to find out if you have a corrupt pastor, go look at his Facebook from 2020 and see if he said anything. If he didn't say anything, you know, is he really part of this, the Great Awakening that's coming? But 2020 was a lot, man. It was a lot for a lot of us. Those of us that love God, you know, that it was a lot. It was a lot to deal with.
Yeah, 2020 is like when I had that burning, like, I was like just praying and declaring for God to give me a platform to speak against all this stuff. I was like, just make it happen. Make it happen. I don't know how you're going to do it. That's when I made a TikTok and did well on TikTok. But I mean, I don't use TikTok as much anymore, because I can't get a video to stay up. But this is kind of it between this and X. And he's definitely blessed a lot of us, and he's blessed so many. And that's just it. People are waking up, and what the media does, they try to make you feel like you're the minority, when we all know that the biggest form of advertisement is word to mouth. Yeah. And so when you see people, people are talking to each other. You know, Chris and I have conversations about, you know, how it's kind of like you have that feeling nowadays, you don't know how to approach people in the conversations, but they say one thing and you're like, oh, I'm in. I'm in.
My in. Like, yeah. You know, my in.
They said something I would say. And,
yeah. Yep.
And yep. You start to see this all over. And then you start to realize that, I mean, we know it now for a while now, but the media is a bunch of liars. They're a bunch of liars, and they are—they conform to this. Like Boone Cutler told us, they project it to the socialists, and then they make
it's a hive mind.
Yeah, yes, and then they make mind. It bigger than what it actually is. And it's crazy. At the same time, I know the spiritual warfare is running high. Just like Kim Clements in his prophecy, demonic forces are raging because that veil's been lifted, because they know they're losing it. So they try and blind everybody else and make you feel like we're losing, but we're not. We're not.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like Pastor Greg Locke, he was the only one who stood up. And so now I have a major respect for him. I really like him. But out of all the churches, there wasn't a lot that stood up, you know? And the thing is, I don't mean to dog on pastors. Like, I really do want to unite. I don't want to divide. But, you know, because some people won't use their Facebooks to speak out because they don't want to stir the pot or cause. But people like Greg Locke, look at how it's weird. But, like, when you stand up in the moment, he was so criticized. Everybody criticized him. They were really mean to him, but look at him now. Look at how it's helped him. So a lot of these pastors didn't realize that if they would have stood up back in 2020, they would be a lot more popular right now. They would be more liked. But I want to unite, but I wish pastors would have spoke out, man. I really do. The pastors didn't speak out, and I was so frustrated being a Christian and a pastor myself. That's what I went to school for, and it's just like it's really sad.
Well, that's just it, though. I mean, as we're going through this great awakening, I think a lot of people are seeing, cause like, I'll be completely honest with you. Like I haven't been inside a building church in years because I get fed elsewhere. Like I don't know if you know who he is. I listen to Kevin Zadi all the time and Kim Clement ministry and stuff like that. But this awakening, I mean, judgment begins in the house of the Lord, right?
You're exactly right.
It already started by people opening their eyes to see who was part of the actual of what God wanted to do and who's part of the Christian cartel.
And well, Kim Clement said that. He said, God cares nothing about these Pharisees.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got,
Oh,
sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. No, I'm just going to say,
I tell everybody on here too. So I haven't been, since COVID because my wife and I got mass shamed in front of everybody.
Wow. Like,
he stopped talking and looked directly at us and basically thanked everybody else for wearing their mask.
Wow.
And I just politely didn't make a scene. I looked at my wife. She was like, okay. And we got up. And then the pastor's wife chased me out of the building. Like, and she's like, we just have to right now. And I'm like, nah, I was like, that's cool. I'm not going to be rude, but I haven't been back since. And it's weird how that happened because I believe everything happens for a reason. I'm not saying they're bad. I just, it was disheartening to see so many give in to the fear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And standing up. Like we preach faith over fear like that. I am big on faith, right? I'm big on faith. Yeah. And It was tough to watch. And I'm not saying they're bad people. It's just, it showed, you know, even Jesus had he told people like you are void. Like you think you are doing certain things that get you into the kingdom of heaven. He said, do you not realize that you're void of the spirit that you're really supposed to have? Like that faith, you know, and so many back then had lost the faith.
Yeah.
So it was disheartening
Man, I couldn't imagine going through that. Wow, that's hard, man. And that's fair. That's a pharisaical behavior. I don't even know if that's a word. I'll make it up. But that's how the Pharisees acted, right? They were like, you're not acting and behaving in this specific way, so you're bad. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, we're all bad. It's Romans 3:23.
Yeah,
we are. Yeah.
I'm not perfect. I am not a perfect person. I'm on a walk.
Yeah, you're horrible. You didn't wear your mask. That's just horrendously bad. You should be kicked out of church over that for sure.
Right.
I got called a Christian fascist this week.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not even sure what that means. Or a Christo fascist, whatever that. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. Is it really for me?
I really do believe. I know I'm like super excited about this whole Ark of the Covenant thing, but like just looking at the scriptures and what it says about the Ark being found, I really do believe that this awakening is going to like supercharge with this whole Ark of the Covenant thing. That's why I'm so passionate about it. Imagine the world finding out that Christ's blood actually fell under the Ark. Like what that would do to atheism.
Right.
Crush it.
Right.
Crush it.
It's gone. Right. Obliterate it.
There's certain
parts of religion too that do not want to hear that. They're not going to want to hear that because it's going to morph their religious views on certain things.
Yeah.
And
I have a question.
So the goal,
And forgive my ignorance. What is around the crucifixion site today?
So where Christ was crucified is known as Calvary or Golgotha. It's also referred to as Solomon's Quarry. So it's a man-made quarry where they quarried stones out for the temple. And we know this because we found first temple period items in the quarry. So archaeologically and historically, the spot where Christ was crucified is known as Solomon's Quarry. So it's solid bedrock. Right now, there's about 20 feet of debris because the city's been destroyed so many times. It's been leveled so many times. But during the time of Christ, where he was crucified, they put the crosses in the bedrock. And when Ron White was excavating, they kept finding these square holes in the bedrock. And there was one in particular he found that had a crack and it had a Tiberius coin in it, which is from the time of Christ. So they realized that they found one of the cross holes from the time of Christ. And they just thought, hey, maybe this is the spot where Christ was crucified. Because if you remember the scriptures, the entire city was talking about this. Everybody knew that Christ was crucified. So him and his supporters believed that maybe one of Christ's disciples or one of Christ's followers went back and marked the spot where Christ was crucified. And then it was a couple of years later, they broke into the cavern. He said they went down 60 feet, they came up, and they were under that spot where they found the Tiberius coin with the cross hole. And there was a crack that led down into the cave where the Ark of the Covenant was. It was 20 feet below. So what's there now is during the time of Christ, it was solid bedrock, to the best of our knowledge. Now there's a bunch of trees and there's a garden there. So the Bible does tell us where Christ was crucified, there was a garden, and there's archaeological evidence of a garden there. So now there's a garden.
Right on.
Very interesting. And you said there's a crack. So there's a crack. Wow. Now, didn't the ground shake?
It does say in Matthew 27:51 that the rocks rent or they broke open. And a lot of people didn't know where Christ was crucified was a quarry, so it was solid bedrock. So when the Bible says the rocks rent, it's talking about at the spot Christ was crucified.
Because I firmly believe, you know, we talk about it here too, that the minute they crucified Jesus, they figured out they had royally screwed up.
They had royally screwed up
and they by doing that, Jesus was able to free all of us from captivity, the captivity that the world was in right then and there. And at that moment, we were given back authority over this world, but the enemy does a really good job of distracting us so we don't figure out we have the authority to trample on the snakes and the
scorpions. You have the same impartation that he has.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it to us.
What is that, Luke 10:19 or 19 something? I don't even remember, but he talks about how we'll have authority to trample on serpents, and he's given us all power over the enemy. I tell Christians too, I'll say this real quick, that Christians, like, if God has given us power over the enemy, if the world's going bad, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. This is why we have to stand up, because we actually have the power. And when we start saying, I have the power, we have the power together to stand up and like an individual wanted, and Ken Clement said this, actually, he said there could be one Hitler for Christ. You know, there was a Hitler for evil. We could have a Hitler for Christ. You know what? All it takes is us standing up. That's all it takes.
Right. Right. I mean, and that, we've talked about that, like, each generation, there's some type of, more than likely, some type of antichrist figure that's being groomed. But as long as the church is here and fighting, that'll never come to fruition.
Yeah.
So it's really up to the church of, people want to talk about like the end of times, but I'm like, well, the end of times will happen when the church completely falls apart. But right now, from what I can see, is people are standing up and realizing Jesus is king.
Yep. Yep. So I think, like Kim Clement said, I think there'll be a great revival. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even 2027 prophecy, Beyond the Veil of Limitation, he said he felt something so beautiful, an old voice and a young voice together, and the unity was so strong that it was the most beautiful thing he ever seen. And he said he wished he was alive to see it.
Yeah, he called everything. It's so weird that he most definitely had the Holy Spirit, for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh, well. I've never heard anything like his conviction that he spoke with. And like every time he prophesied, like he gives me the chills. Mm-hmm. Like even old videos. It's a video I've seen 100,000 times and I'm like, I still get chills. Like every time he talks about it. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said that He said that Trump would be a trumpet. I'm like, you know what a trumpet is, right? It sounds the way for an army, it's an alarm that alerts us to like the next level. And I'm like, Trump's just the trumpet right now. Wait until we get to the next level.
Yeah,
right. And that's just it. Like, and that's what he did. Like, he came on the scene, and me and Chris, we were both like CNN viewer watchers. Like, just we thought it was just the news.
Yeah.
And as soon as he came on scene, started scouting fake news. And then you start to question, you're like, what's he talking about? And you start digging and realize these people are a bunch of liars after all these years. He literally sounded the trumpet for so many people.
And them attacking him too. It woke so many people up.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It's that wild. Especially for me, because again, 2016. When we tell everybody this on the show, I was like, you got to be kidding me. These are the two best presidential candidates that we could come up with. I only knew Trump as the guy. I only knew him as the person that on The Apprentice and this real estate, you know, everybody wanted to be Donald Trump. You heard him in all the rap songs. He was on the TV all the time. I'm like, seriously? Like, this is the best we could do. I knew Hillary was evil, but I had never voted. I had never voted in my entire life. So June, I give my life to God, June of 2016, and then things started happening. I mean, June to September, I had uprooted where I lived. I mean, like that. It happened so fast. I foreclosed on my home because I knew I had something just told me I had to get out of where I was. At that time, I was hooked. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug. I was hooked on opiates. The whole nine, didn't believe in God, nothing. And it got so bad, I gave God a shot. I said, I'm done. And he knew in my heart that I was done, that I had hit rock bottom. And so when I saw Kim's prophecy talking about they will shout it, I've chosen a man after my own heart. He never says Trump in that one. I hadn't seen the 2006 one where he said Trump will become a Trump. I only saw the 2014. And it was right before the election of 2020. I didn't vote, or 16. I didn't vote, but I saw that prophecy and I prayed to God. I said, God, please do not let, if he wins, I will know that this is real. I will know, because in my mind, I'm like, is he talking about Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Is this the guy he's chosen? And they will shout in peace. I'm like, is this the guy? And I, yeah. and when I saw, you saw the polls, 99% chance that she's going to win. Yeah. Don't even show up to vote. They can't believe he even ran. And I told God in that, I said, please don't let her win. If he wins, I will quit. I will quit all of this stuff. I will quit. Cause I had just, you know, I'm still like, I'm still drinking. I'm still doing, I told God I needed him, but I'm still drinking and stuff. And when he won, I just kind of was like, I woke up next morning. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like it was at that moment. I'm like, this is real. Yep. Like he is, this is God. And like, I remember like yesterday by December of that year, I'm crying to my wife on my way back. I was like, I gotta quit. I gotta quit all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I did. And I did.
It's kind greatest.
Yeah.
I love how the Lord does it too, actually. A lot of people will criticize Kim Clement's prophecies. And they're like, why would he say Trump is a trumpet? Why wouldn't he just say Donald Trump? You know, it's like, well, the way that God always unfolded prophecies, even throughout the scriptures, is it was never direct. It was almost, almost said in such a way that it was somewhat secretive up until the moment it happens. And then everybody gets it, you know? And it's like the whole Trump thing, that was just, for me, that was solid. That was so solid. Because he talks about how he's going to be president, and Trey Smith did a video on it right before the election, and I remember the night that it happened. I'm like, if he gets elected, this is God. This is totally God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah, and then you got the one, you know, about the Hebrides Bible is that we love to show that video. And
I love like, that God, one. I
God
love
is
it.
This is our window. This remember the Kim probably he's like Kim said when he's going to show us something depending on how his people act.
Yeah,
right. We're going to be shown, and that's why I believe all of us have been called up to be here in this time in this season, because we're going to see this thing through, and we're going to make sure that more and more people's eyes. That's all we pray for here. Is that we open? All I want to do is open your eye. I don't hate anybody. I understand the level of brainwashing a lot of us have been, because I was there. I was there. I understand how powerful the enemy is and what he can do if you don't have God in your life. But that's why we're all here right now, because we're going to see this thing through. We're going to take so many souls through that window, and we're going to do things and see things we never thought possible. Never thought Amen. Possible.
Well, you guys are one of the chiefs, I think, from the prophecy for sure. Anybody who's standing up for this great awakening, they're one of God's chiefs. You know, and the thing is I know like the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl 3 times now, so they're becoming, Patrick Mahomes is like becoming like the villain, but
kind of getting sick of it.
Yeah. Yeah, but the prophecy, the reason that he gave that prophecy is because the word chief, it existed before the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And it's just talking about warriors for God is the reason that God, I think, put that on Bob Jones' heart. Is he was a redneck from the hills of Arkansas, and he didn't know how to say things very well. And so he was trying to convey that like God, there's a point where God's going to like start raising up these warriors. And that's what Kim Clement said as well. There's going to be these warriors where they're not going to give up. They're going to keep fighting and fighting and fighting until we finally succeed as a nation,
army,
and as a world.
Yeah. The army of Davids.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what he said. Yep. So Kim Clement's translation would be an army of Davids. Bob Jones would be chiefs is the term he used.
Right.
But I do find it interesting. It's very coincidental. And there are no coincidences in the kingdom of God.
Nope.
No,
there are no coincidences.
He's shown me plenty of times when instances where he's shown me something like, not only instantly, but very clearly. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's been quite a journey. So, and he's still working. He's still working, because I'm not going to sit here like I'm perfect or anything. But he shows me so much and cleans up so much of my life. And he's like, I'm just trying to get you to where you should be. He's like, it's never in like a...
Yeah.
Like a mad type of direction.
Right. Well, with me, it's like I'm pursuing the Ark of the Covenant, and then people expect you to be holy. And I tell people all the time, I'm like, I'm really not that good of a person. You know, like I came out of a lifestyle of partying. Like I was literally partying every day for 5 years straight, just having the time of my life, enjoying life. And God called me out of that to this. So I tell people straight up, I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm not that good of a person. God's still working on me. And yeah. I think it's important that we remember that all the great men of the Bible, they came from really bumpy paths, you know, and it's like,
they sure did.
It seems like the people that God really uses are the people that aren't so good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, like Donald Trump, you know, like he's got a little bumpy of a right. past, but
you know, we like to say, Cash, God doesn't pick perfect people. He picks perfect people for the job. That's
right.
It. Because yeah. none of us are perfect, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna sit there and point at the plank in your eye and miss the giant one in mine. I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah.
You know, we're like I said before, we're walking, our character is being built through. We're having our eyes open while also having our care. Like the renewing of your mind doesn't happen overnight. It is a journey. Nope. It's a journey.
Transforms means say, over time.
You're gonna stumble, but what the enemy does is once you stumble, the enemy tells you just quit because you're never, that's it. You've already, there's no going back now. And God's saying, just pick yourself up, dust your shoulders off, and keep moving forward. Keep taking right. my right. hand and letting me lead you. That's
yeah,
it's simple.
I mean, that's what Paul tells us. I mean, your spirit is saved, right? But your body's not, your mind's not. You have to transform it. So like people always, because this is where we get into Ephesians and putting on the armor and literally taking that for what it means. Because the enemy, you are now in the army. You've been drafted.
Oh yeah.
And so you're standing there with nothing. So it's time to armor up and because. It doesn't necessarily stop. It doesn't stop, but it does get easier.
Yeah. If you're going to be in the Lord's army, you got to have some thick skin because things get really intense. You know, they get really intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been that way for me. That's ever since I started pursuing the ark. You know, like I said, I was partying, I was having fun, I was enjoying my life. I started pursuing the ark, and it's like it's just overwhelming the attacks. It's insane. It makes you stronger though. And it makes you, I think like Trump, it makes you more popular over time too. Cause then people are like, why is this person being attacked?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel, and I'll be completely honest with you. I feel like I get more attacks from the Christian community.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what Kim said in this prophecy he gave about the Ark of the Covenant. He even said that the religious people would try to fight it. He said there would be signs for it. And when he's talking about the ark, like there would be evidence that it would be found. And he said the religious people, they'll try to fight it. They're going to try to fight it. And it's like, why would you try to fight something like this? And, you know, I have some Christians say to me, they're like, well, we don't need tangible things. We have God. We have faith. I'm like, yeah, that's great for you as a Christian. But what about the lost sheep? Do you not care about the lost sheep? And I remind them all the time, too. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he didn't even believe in God until he saw him. So seeing evidence is not an exemption from salvation. And I care about these lost sheep, you know. I want to win some souls to the kingdom.
Right. That's the biggest point.
But they attack me and they're like, well, you want physical evidence. And I'm like, what's wrong with physical evidence, you know?
who wouldn't be stoked to know that find the Ark of the Covenant?
Right. You know? Yeah. So that's the mission I'm on. And I honestly know it's crazy saying it, but I honestly think I am very confident that the Ark is at the crucifixion site. And once it comes out, I honestly think it'll obliterate atheism. I really do.
Agreed. You can't argue with that.
Right.
Noah's Ark too, right? I mean, they pretty sure they found Noah's Ark. So
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. The evidence for that's a lot more difficult, though, because, you know, people will be like, well, you found metal, you found wood, you found petrified wood. That doesn't mean anything. You know, right. Even though I think the evidence for Noah's Ark is really good, I think the evidence for the Red Sea crossing is even better. Yes. And there's lots of people that have found, like, gold and chariot parts, you know, out in the Red Sea. It's not just Ron Wyatt. There's been other people. I have so many topics with Ron Wyatt we could talk about in Kim Clement. There's a lot of Kim Clement prophecies that I think are going to be unfolding here very soon, especially because of what you were saying about the 2027.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, and I believe there's a lot have to happen before 2027 with a lot of his prophecies. But, I mean, even like the big one that is most talked about in his 2014 prophecy in February, where he goes through everything that they will shout impeach, all this stuff, the stone. I mean, all of that, but a lot of that's already come to pass in the Ukraine and Russia. And it's, I think that all this has to come to pass. And even regarding 2027, he said in 2027, he's seen that we're beyond the veil. And so I think about that, and everybody wants to sit and wait, like it's just going to come. And I'm not saying that God can't just do things, but I'm saying the people got to be there and be ready, prepared for it. And if we're not preparing the way of what mentality we're supposed to be in, renewing our minds, and I want to be a part of that, and I want to help people get to that side so we can get to beyond the veil limitation. Because honestly, when it comes down to it in the spiritual realm, I don't think we have any limitations. I think it's all up here.
Yep. And it's Joel 2:28, Acts 2:17, where it talks, and Kim Clement talked about this a lot. God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Yeah. And that's the mind aspect, right? Once, you know, we get into manifestation, even though Christ taught about manifestation, but it's totally true. It's in the mind, and the Holy Spirit can really project through you if you allow it. I think that eventually, maybe not right now, but eventually I do think things will get supernatural.
Oh yes.
I do too. I think people are just going to start understanding it, because they're going to start believing more, and they're going to be like, holy cow, this we can do this, or like I can heal this person. Like,
so
I mean,
much more powerful than we even.
I mean, if we were given the same authority when Jesus died on the cross, I mean, think about that. Like, but people can't wrap their head around that, because if you say you have the same authority as Jesus, people are like, "Oh, you're claiming God." No, not at all. That's not what I'm saying.
He said, "Oh, so check this out. I have a theory on this. I want to say real quick. He said that that we as Christians would do even greater things. So I kind of have this theory." I have this theory that if you're saved and you know God, the Spirit of God is within you. You know, we joke about this and say that Jesus is in my heart. We'd say this when we were kids. But if that's true, the Spirit of God is on a large percentage of us that are Christians throughout the earth. And when Christ came into a certain village, it said he could not perform miracles because they did not believe. They did not have faith.
When he was in Nazareth. So
think about this. As a collective of humans that are Christians, maybe not the lost sheep, but the collective of humans that are Christians, if we all believe something and the Spirit of God is on us, I think it'll actually happen. So it takes all of us combining that work together. And if everybody believes that this person will be healed, I think supernaturally that a person can be healed, or supernaturally a mountain can move. You know, I think that as humans, when we come together, we can actually start doing stuff supernaturally, because of that verse where Christ said he couldn't perform miracles, and it, because of their faith, their lack of faith. Now, that may be a little woo-woo. It may kind of go a little far out there, but it is in the scriptures.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Faith.
But if you think about it, if the Spirit of God is on you and you're saved, if you have doubt, that's what you're projecting out. And so a lot of these ideas are things we're trying to push. It's going to take us coming together as Christians that have the Holy Spirit. And when we do, I really think that, like Joel 2:28 says, I think we're going to see like miraculous signs and healings. And like, you know, it talks about pouring out his spirit on all flesh.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
That's great. That's good.
So that's what I'm excited for. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, brother, we'll have to do this again sometime.
Yeah, you're going to have to come back.
Yeah.
I have a lot of topics with Kim Clement that I haven't even shared yet. A lot of prophecies. But I think finding the Ark of the Covenant, or focusing our time and energy on it as Christians, I think that the rewards could be very, very great. And so that's why I tell people all the time, I'm like, hey, you know what? I could be wrong. Maybe the Ark isn't at the crucifixion site, you know? So at the very least, we could put a rumor to rest, right? So it's still a win-win. But I'm focusing all of my time and energy on this because I have faith that this is going to cause billions of souls one to the kingdom, is what I'm having faith in.
I believe we have 100%. Received.
100%. Yep.
Well, thank everybody, you, brother. Yeah, thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. That was good. Obviously, those that are on TikTok, go watch his stuff. And you said you are starting a Facebook group, or you have
started? I already have. It's up to 5,500 members, I have about 10 volunteers. So the idea would be to get it to millions. If you guys have ever heard of the 3% rule, when you get to 3% of whatever population, so in America, that would be like 10 million, your mission will be successful. So the mission is to reach out to Benjamin Netanyahu and try to get a meeting with him to confirm whether the Ark is at the crucifixion site or not. And if he denies it, then we would ask for an investigation. That's the goal of the Ark movement. When we reach, 5 million, I think it would be important to start reaching out to Benjamin Netanyahu. And I actually think that's the Kim Clement prophecy, where he says they will call the Benjamin Netanyahu and he will reveal something.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah. Everybody seems movement. To love you in the Rumble chat. So
thank you. So it's ARC. So I've rambled so much, but it's ARC movement. If you want to go to the Facebook group, or just go to Facebook and type in ARC movement. And I know Facebook's horrible. I need to get on Rumble. That's what I need to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoot. You get on Rumble, I'll help promote you.
Okay. Bet. I need to do that for sure. I'm trying to get more to Rumble and X, because TikTok is like, and Facebook, they're both not super good.
I haven't posted on TikTok in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think I have two. I can't tell you how many accounts I've been banned from, locked out of. I focus on X, Truth, and Rumble. That's pretty much our
amen. Yeah, Telegram. I need to do the same. You guys are ahead of me, man. I got started on TikTok because it was like the biggest, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna go over here, and then it ended up being like, I can't say anything. There's so much I want to say, but you're like throttled. You can't say anything.
Yeah. Horrible. You can say whatever you want on Rumble. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. I know. I need to get on Rumble. There's a lot I want to say for sure.
There you go.
Absolutely,
man.
Well, we'll definitely have you back. We'll definitely stay in touch. And Chris, do you got anything else before we get out of here?
I just want to say, everybody be safe this weekend. God bless you. And just remember, he is risen. It's going to be a wonderful weekend. It is going to be a wonderful weekend. Stay frosty,
On with Don A. We'll be on with Don A on Sunday for those that aren't doing anything. So I think it's, what, 3:30, Chris?
Yes, 3:30. I think
3:30 Central.
It's 3 or 3:30, ladies and gentlemen. I got so many. Yeah.
Kevin, you got any last words before we get out of here?
Like you said, man, he's risen. I think that's awesome. You guys are going to be on. I'll have to watch the podcast with Don A. She's awesome. Love her.
That's great.
And have a great weekend, you guys.
All right, you too, brother.
Have a great rest of the night, and we'll talk to you on the next one. Holla.
Much love.